Today's daf is the Masechet Pesachim, daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, three lines before it gets wide with the words Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, Shor Rishon Machal Ludim. Yesterday, at the end of the sugya, we got into the time frame of when people eat. Rapapa told us that Dalad's Man Sudil Cholhi, and now, based on that, the Gemara has a discussion when different kinds of people eat. The first hour of the morning, the Ludim begin to eat. Rashi tells us they are Rafsanim, they're gluttonous people. Rashi in Shabbos Daf Yud, Amid Aleph tells us that they're Oichle Adam, they're cannibals, and therefore they're very eager to begin their eating right at the crack of dawn. So they eat the first hour of the day. Shnia, the second hour of the day, is Machal Listen, is the time when robbers who steal all night eat, and Rashi says they are also Rafsanim, they're also gluttonous, and they want to begin eating right away, but since they were up all night doing their profession of stealing, they don't eat until the second hour of the day. They're sleeping during the first hour. Shlish is the third hour of the day, Machal Yarshim. That's when people who are wealthy by Yerusha, they did not earn their money by working for it, and they don't have any worries about going out to earn a parnasa, so they are able to eat early in the morning. They don't have to first go to work to earn some money for their food, so therefore they can eat already at the third hour of the day. Revi is the fourth hour of the day, Machal Poilin. That's when the workers who have to go to work, that's when they are able to eat their first meal. Chamish is the fifth hour of the day, Machal Talmid Chacham. That's when Talmidei Chachamim, after they come home from learning, from davening, from saying Tillim, that's when they eat their first meal of the day. And we have to remind ourselves that in those days, as Tosfos tells us in Chulin, they only used to eat two meals a day. Shishis, the sixth hour of the day, Machal Kol Adam, this is when all people eat. The Gemara asks immediately a question. At the end of yesterday's shir, we learned V'amar HaPapa Revi is Zman Sudul Chalhi. That's the fourth hour of the day, which is the time when everybody eats. Ella Epech, the Gemara answers, we have to switch it around. Revi is Machal Kol Adam. As Rapapa said, that is the fourth hour, which is the time when all people eat. Chamish, the fifth hour, Machal Palm, that's when the workers eat. Shish is Machal Talmidei Chacham. The sixth hour of the day is the time when Talmidei Chachamim eat. Mikan Ve'elech Chizoyerek Evan L'chamas. From the sixth hour and further, after 6 hours completely are over, then it's like throwing a stone into a bag. Rashi in Shabbos Daf Yud has two pshatim. His first pshat is that it's kosher leguf, that it's detrimental for the guf. And the second pshat in Rashi is loy kosher v'loy yofa. It's neither good nor bad. It makes no difference. And as the Magen Avraham explains, that if you have, for example, some wine in a bag and you throw a rock in, the wine will rise. It'll look like there's more wine there, but actually you have not increased the volume of the wine at all. The same thing when a person eats after the sixth hour. It looks like it's beneficial, but in fact, it has done nothing for the guf whatsoever. The Magen Avraham also tells us that lichatchila, the sixth hour for Talmidei Chachamim, they should eat at the beginning of the sixth hour, which is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. However, the Magen Avraham says that b'diavad, the entire sixth hour is still good, as long as one does not go over the end of the sixth hour into the seventh hour, because then it would be kezarik evan lechames, as the Gemara has just told us. Agav Urcha, the Lecha Mishnah, on the Rambam tells us that this Gemara would be a makor for the Rambam, who says that a person has to wait between eating meat and milk, kimo shei shos, approximately 6 hours. Where does the Rambam get that from? So it's based on a Gemara in Chulin that Mar Ukva said, I am like vinegar to my father, compared to my father who was like wine. In other words, I'm on a lower madrega. When he used to eat meat, he would wait 24 hours before he would eat dairy. And I only wait between one su'ud and another. And that's where Tosfos says that they only used to eat two sudas a day. And Tosfos' opinion in the sugya over there in Chulin is that if a person is mesalik, he removes the fleshiga tablecloth and the cutlery and puts on a dairy tablecloth and new dairy cutlery, right away the person, he benches, right away he's able to eat milchik. He doesn't have to wait almost anything between fleshig and milchik. We do not paskin like that lalocha. The Rambam Shita is that it means 6 hours. How do you get to 6 hours? If you analyze the times that Mar Ukva ate, we could see that the difference between one meal and another on an average day would be 6 hours. Because let's take an average day of 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mar Ukva would eat his first meal, as the Gemara here tells us, and in Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud, that a Talmud Chacham eats at the sixth hour of the day. So he would eat his first hour, his first meal during the sixth hour of the day, ending it by 12 o'clock. And then he would have to eat his second meal, and they only ate two meals a day. He would have to eat that before 6 p.m., because the Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Ayin Aleph that a person who doesn't see what he's eating is like a sumu. He has no anah from his food. So a person has to eat when there's still sunlight outside, that in those days when they didn't have electricity, they would eat before it got dark. So his first meal was at 12 on an average day. His second meal was before 6. So you have approximately 6 hours there, and based on this Gemara and the Gemara in Chul and the Gemara in Yuma all together, that's how the Lech Mishnah makes the source for the Rambam that we wait for 6 hours. There is more to be marach on this, but this is not the time. Anyone who's interested in the source for 3 hours, have written two articles in the Masorah magazine printed by the OU. One can be Ayin Shum. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abaya. Loy amor el loy tom midi bitzafra. When do we say that it's like throwing a rock into a bag and it doesn't accomplish anything? That's only if somebody did not taste anything in the morning. Aval tom midi bitzafra. If somebody tasted something in the morning, then less lonba. Then there is no problem with eating even after the sixth hour if you've already eaten something before. Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi gets back to our sugya of yesterday, where there was a discrepancy between the testimony of two witnesses as far as the time when a murder, for example, took place. Kemachloikis be'edus, kach machloikis becham. It's the same machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. How much a person makes a mistake in time, whether it's 2 hours or 3 hours, or it's a mashahu, or it's an hour and a mashahu. We had various shitas in yesterday's Gemara. The same machlokes that you have by testimony of witness, the same thing applies to how long a person has to wait before these man, where chametz is asur midaraisa, whether it's the fourth hour, the fifth hour, the sixth hour, what the times are. The Gemara ruled out the fourth hour yesterday. Basically, it's either the fifth hour is Osir and Chametz, even the fifth hour, or only the sixth hour, Midr Rabbanan is Osir. So the Machlokas and Edis is the same Machlokas by Chametz. The Gemara says, Pshita Haina Hachdam Rinan. We've been saying that in our whole sugya, that one Machlokas is dependent on the other. So the Gemara says, Hakamashman, this is what he wanted to teach us, Shinui, the Shaninan Shinuyahu. The answers that we gave yesterday to the discrepancies between what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir hold by Chametz and what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir hold by Edus, there were discrepancies. They are valid answers that we gave yesterday. Yesterday in the shir, we said it's dependent on various factors. There's a cloudy day factor. There's making perhaps a mistake between the fifth hour and the seventh hour. V'loy tema tanoihi. Do not say that it's a machloikis tanoim. Here, by in Masechta Sanhedrin, by Edus, Rav Meir, for example, may hold that a person's only off a minute. And here in Masechta Pesachim, he says that a person has to wait 1 hour. So there seems to be a discrepancy. So maybe the answer is that it's two Tanoim who had a different opinion as to what Rav Meir actually paskened. The answer is no. It's clear what he paskened. There's no different Tanoim. The only thing is that you have to build in a factor of people making mistakes in time, and you have to reconcile it with what Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda held in Masechta Sanhedrin. But once you've reconciled it, it is based on people making mistakes, but you have to give various truths, as we gave in yesterday's shir, to explain the difference between Chametz and Edus. But it's not that there are two different opinions in what Rabbi Meir's sheet actually, or Rabbi Yehuda's sheet actually were. Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Loi Shanu, when can we reconcile the testimony of two witnesses? Ela B'Shoyes, that's only in hours. We can say they made a mistake. 2 hours less a mashu, 3 hours less a mashu, as Rav's sheet wasn't explaining the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Aval Echad, Omer Kaitim on Netzachama. If one says, I saw this murder take place before the ball of the sun came up in the morning, V'Echad Omer Achra Netzachama, and one says that, no, I saw it after the Hanetzachama, then Edusa B'Tela, then they must not have seen this together, because they're actually testifying about two different times. And even if I say they make a mistake in 2 hours, but it can't be 2 hours where one is before HaNetzachim and one is after HaNetzachim. Afraid the Gemara Pshita, that's simple, it's obvious, because then clearly you can't reconcile their testimony if one is saying it before HaNetz and one is saying it after. Ella, Echad Omer Kodem HaNetzachim, Ve'echad Omer B'toich HaNetzachim. One says, I saw it before the Netzachim, and one said, I saw it during when the ball of the sun came up. So then the halach is Edusa B'teila. That's the Chiddush. Afraid the Gemara Nami Pshita. That's again, it's speaking about two clearly different times, which are marked by physical phenomena that you could see in nature, either before Netz or during. Why would I have a Havamina that these two testimonies can be reconciled? The Gemara answers, no. Maud is saying, I would have think Tarvaya Chodamil Sikamri. They're really both saying the same thing. And really, they both saw it before the ball of the sun came up. And now we turn to David Gimel Amud Aleph B'toich HaNetzachama, the one who said that he saw it during the Netzachama, Begiluye Havikoi, that really he made a mistake. He thought the ball was coming up, and really he was like sort of overpowered with the glow of the sun. He just saw the rays of the sun, thinking that the ball had come up. He was overwhelmed with the shining of the rays of the sun and the glow, and he made a mistake. And really, he was testifying at the same time as his friend, that if one said Kodem HaNetzachama and one said during Netzachama, they are speaking about two distinct times, and their testimony cannot be reconciled, and we throw out their testimony. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. We had a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda whether during the fifth hour one can eat chametz or not on Erev Pesach. According to Rav Meir, one is allowed to eat chametz during the fifth hour, and it's only at the end of the fifth hour that he burns the chametz, and at the same time it becomes asumid rabbanon to eat chametz. However, Rabbi Yehuda said no, that at the end of the fourth hour one is already not allowed to eat chametz during the fifth hour. However, one needs only burn the chametz at the end of the fifth hour. You can have anah during the fifth hour, so it's toilin, Rabbi Yehuda said. It's hanging in midair. In other words, loy oichlin v'loy sarfin. You don't eat chametz during that fifth hour, but neither do you have to burn the chametz. You can have anah from the chametz. Who is the halacha like? So Rabbi Nachman said in the name of Rav, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lei Rav Nachman, Rav is said to Rav Nachman, v'neim amar halacha Rav Meir. Why don't you just come out and say the opposite, that the halacha is like Rav Meir? Why the sasim lan tana kava say? Because we find a stam mishnah, and we know stam mishnah Rav Meir, and it seems that the tana paskin on daf chaf aleph amid aleph a mishnah like Rav Meir. This none, it says in the mishnah, kol shah shemuter lechol machol. Whenever a Jew can eat chametz, he can give it to his animal. So, in other words, the Chayitis comes out like Rav Meir, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is an hour, which is the fifth hour, where one is not allowed to eat himself, and yet he can have anah from it by giving it to his animal. So the Chayitis Mishnah there is passing like Rav Meir, so why didn't Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav, passing like Rav Meir, why did he pass like Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara answers, he loves Stamhu. That is not a Stam Mishnah, but in fact, it is going like Rav Gamliel, Mishum de Kasha Mutter. The Gemara later will have a question from the word Mutter, as Rashi explains. The Mishnah said over there, Kol Shoshem Mutter Lech. Why didn't the Mishnah just say simply, Kol Shah She'oichel Machel? Whenever he can eat, he can give to eat to his animal. Why does it say Shemutter? So Elamite Gemara understands that to mean, we deduce from that it must mean, whenever it's Mutter for another person to eat, not me. I'm not allowed to eat. But if it's still mutter for another person, who's that other person? A koyin, who's eating truma. Because Rav Gamliel's shita is that it's only chulin that's usher after the fourth hour. But truma, which is kachim, we don't want it to become puzzle, so therefore we want to give them as much time as possible to eat, so therefore it's mutter to eat chametz truma, which is chametz during the fifth hour. So that the pshat in the Mishnah, if we say it's going like like Rav Gamliel is, kol shoshem mutter lachol. If someone else besides myself is still mutter to eat the truma, then I, a Yisroel, who's not eating the truma, I can at least have enough from it during that fifth hour and be machala to my animal. So it's not a verification that the Tana held like Rav Meir, but rather it's an endorsement of the shita of Rav Gamliel, and that's why Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav, did not say that Loch is like a stam Mishnah like Rav Meir, because in fact that Mishnah is going like the shita of Rav Gamliel. The name of my Loch Rav Gamliel. Okay, so then the stam Mishnah over there is really Rav Gamliel. So why don't we say that Loch is like Rav Gamliel? The Havale Machriya. Because he is a machria. He is deciding between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir said that you can eat during the fifth hour. Rav Yehuda said you cannot eat during the fifth hour. And Rav Gamliel says that a Yisrael cannot eat during the fifth hour and a Kohen could. So, and the halacha is always like the one who's machria, who's the deciding opinion between the two other opinions. Tosfos asks the question, why didn't the Gemara ask simply, the halacha should be like Rav Gamliel, because you see that the Rebbe made a Stam Mishnah according to the opinion of Rav Gamliel. Let that be the reason why we should be say the halacha is Rav Gamliel. Why does the Gemara come on to a new reason of Machriya? And Tosfos answers, because we're going to have two truths in the Gemara. According to the first Teretz, this question that Tosfos just asked does not get answered. Tosfos said he relied on the second Teretz, where in the second Teretz, as we'll soon see, that the Gemara's question of Machriya is answered, and Tosfos' question as well of Stam Mishnah is answered also. The Gemara now we're holding is asking the question, why don't we pass like Rav Gamliel because he's a Machriya? The Gemara answers, Omar Lei, Rav Gamliel lav Machriya. He's not a Machriya. Tam Dinafshi Kamar. He was saying his own reasoning. As Rashi explains, had the Mishnah said that according to Rav Meir, Echad Chulin ve'Echad Truma is Kol Chamesh, that Chulin and Truma is Usur the whole fifth hour, that Echad Chulin ve'Echad Truma is mutter the entire fifth hour, it's only usher during the sixth hour, midrabbanan, and Rabbi Yehuda would have argued and said that whether it's chulin or whether it's truma, it's only mutter until the end of the fourth hour, and it's usher during the fifth hour, and then Rabbi Gamliel would have come along and been machriya and said that chulin is till the end of the fourth hour, and truma is till the end of the fifth hour. That would be achro, and Allah is always like a machriya. But in fact, if you look in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir never said anything about truma, and Rabbi Yehuda never said anything about truma. So in that sense, Rav Gamliel is his own independent opinion, and it has nothing to do with the Machlokes of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. They're arguing about Chulin. They're not discussing Truma at all. That's not called Achra, and Allah in this case would not be like the Machriya Rav Gamliel. However, Tosfos' question of Stam Mishnah would still be a problem. The Iboy Yisayim, I'll give you a teretz that will answer the question of Machriya and will also answer Tosfos' question of Stam Mishnah. Rav, the Amar Kehai Tana, Rav found a completely different Tana where we see that they paskined like Rabbi Yehuda that it is usher to eat chametz after the fourth hour for Yisrael. The Tani we learned. If the 14th day of Nisan falls out on a Shabbos, then you have to get rid of all the chametz already on the 13th, a day before on Friday. V'sorfen trumas tameis, and you burn trumas which are tameh, and you burn those which are tluyos that are suffic whether they're tameh or not. U'tahoris, you also burn tahor ones because you can't leave chametz around. And we do that all on Erev Shabbos. But you leave over from the Torah ones, mazon shtei sudas, enough food to eat for two sudas for Shabbos, even though, as Rashi points out, we know you need always shalosh sudas. But this Shabbos, the halacha is, Erev Pesach Chal Yos B'Shabbos, in order to eat the matzah with desire, we do not eat anything min ha-mincha ulamayla. And also, of course, we're also to eat chametz from the seventh hour and on midaraisa, and the sixth hour and on midarabbanan. But we leave. Therefore, we don't eat a third meal, and we eat two seudos. And when do we have to finish eating the chametz on Erev Pesach Chal Yos B'Shabbos? Kedei lechel ad dalachos, that we should finish eating by the end of the fourth hour. And this goes on chulin and on the truma that we were discussing here in this braisa. Divrei Rav Lazar ben Yehuda Ish Bar Susa. This is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda from Bar Susa. Shamar Rishum Rabbi Shua. He said it in the name of Rabbi Shua. Amru Loi. So the Chachamim disagreed with him, and they said, Taharis Lo Yisrifu. Why are you burning the Taharis a day earlier before Shabbos? Shema Yimtzu Lan Eichlin. Shema. Maybe you will find people who will eat it. As Rashi says, you'll find other Kohanim who are guests. You can give it to dogs. You could be Mavatlet. Why do you have to burn it a day before? Amr Lahan, Krabikshu, Lahmatsu. They looked around for different guests, the dogs, whatever, and they couldn't find. Amr Ulai, they said back to him, Shema, again, Shema, maybe, Chutz L'Chaimalanu. Maybe these people didn't come into the city. They were residing outside the wall, and now they're going to come into the city on Shabbos. They're going to want to eat something. You'll be able to give it to them. Why burn it a day before? Amr Lahan. So he answered back, Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda answered back, L'Divreichem, according to your reasoning. So even those that are misafik should not be burned. Why? If you're using the Svar of Shema, I could also say Shema Yavi El Yov Yitar. Maybe El Yov will come and take who is Tishbi Yitar, it's Kushvi Boyas. He's going to answer all our doubts. He will tell us that really these things that are Suffolk are not Suffolk. They're really Vaday Tohar, and you're allowed to eat them. So why burn them? Armuloi, they answered back. You're asking me a question about Shema Yavi El Yov. We learned already in Masechta Erevin, we learned in the last Masechta, Kvar Muftach Len Yisrael, Shein El Yov Bo, Loi Be'arvi Shabbos, Loi Be'arvi Yom Tovim, Ne'atarach. Because the Jews are busy getting ready for Shabbos, El Yov knows that that's a day when it's going to be too hard for him to come, it's going to be too hard for Klal Yisrael preparing for Shabbos and greeting El Yov, and therefore he's not going to come. Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. So that's a Shema that you don't have to worry about. So it comes out that Chachamim were disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, who had made two statements. One statement was you have to burn the Truma, the Suffolk Truma, the Vaday Truma, the Tameh Truma, even the Torah Truma, you have to burn it all Erev Shabbos. And he also made a second statement that you have to eat everything up by the fourth hour, even Truma. Amru, they said, Lo Yizazu Misham, they did not move away from there. Achikov Alach Rav Lazar ben Yehuda, Ish Bar Susa, Sham Rishon Rav Yeshua, they paskin the Alach like Rav Lazar ben Yehuda. My love, the Gemara says, didn't they paskin a full lechel? Not only on the shal of when to burn the Tvua, which Rav Lazar said, Erev of Shabbos you have to burn it, and the Chachamim disagreed with that, and yet they paskin like Rav Lazar, but also lechel. Until what time can you eat? Until the fourth hour. So here is what the Gemara is explaining. Why Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav, paskin like Rav Yehuda, because even though there's maybe the Mishnah in Daf Chaf Aleph seems to suggest that the Halach is like Rav Meir, but here we found a different Mishnah where it says clear that they paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yehuda concerning when the Zman of Isser Achilas Chametz is not only for Chulin but even for Truma, and that is at the end of the fourth hour. Amr Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Loi Lavar. No, when they paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yehuda, it was not for that halacha of when you could eat truma. It was for the halacha of Lavar. Lavar, you talk have to do it a day before. Notwithstanding the questions that the Chacham had on Rav Elazar ben Yehuda, but it could be eating chametz. Maybe we pass them like Rav Gamliel, as the Mishnah says in Daf Chaf Aleph. We paskin like Rav Gamliel that it's Osir Chulin until the end of the fourth hour, and Trum is Osir until the end of the fifth hour. The Af Rebbe Sovel Laha de Rav Nachman. Rebbe was also of the opinion of Rav Nachman that Chulin Chomet should not be eaten after 4 hours. The Amar Ravin Bar Avada, Maisa, there was a story, Ba'adam Echad Shehifkid the Sakya Malaya Chomets. He deposited as a pikadon something for the shomer to watch. The sakya is du sakim. It's a contraction of these two words. Two bags, one on each side of a chamor, saddle bags, and these saddle bags were full of chametz. And he put it by yoichn chakuka v'nifku achbaram, and the mice ate through them. And v'hoya chametz mevatzpets v'yotze, and the chametz started leaking out, and the chametz is getting destroyed. And the question now came to Rebbe, Bolifnei Rebbe, and the Shomer has an obligation, as we're going to see later in the Gemara, to protect the property of the Mafkid, the one who gave him the property. So he came to Rebbe and he asked Rebbe, what should I do? Should I sell it? And every minute that it gets closer to Pesach, the price is going to go down, because Jews will eat breakfast, but then after breakfast they're going to get rid of their chametz. So Shor Rishon Amalei Hamtim, wait, don't do anything. Shni Amalei Hamtim, the second hour of the day, told him, wait. Shlush Amalei Hamtim, third hour of the day, told him, wait, don't sell. Revius Amalei Hamtim, even the fourth hour, he told him, don't sell. Chamish is the fifth hour. Then Rebbe said, okay, now you have to do something. Amalei, say, Umaycha Rishon, go and eat it and sell it in the marketplace. So Rashi says, till now he told him to wait because maybe the owner will come and he himself will eat it. But now that it's the fifth hour and he can't eat anymore, as the Gemara says right now, my lav lenachem. Who did Rebbe say that he should sell it to? To a goy. Why? Maybe it means to a Jew. So Tosfos says, as we're going to see later in the Gemara, because if it means to a Jew, then why did he tell Shomer to sell it in the marketplace? Why bother going in the marketplace? Tell him you yourself could eat it, and you'll pay the money to the Mafkid. This way you'll at least save some of his money. You'll pay him for your breakfast, for you and your family. And why go to the marketplace? Elamai, you're not allowed to eat it because you're a Jew. It's after the fourth hour. And the only... You can still have a nod from it because it's during the fifth hour. So the chayra we see from this interpretation of the word, the psak of Rebbe, that Rebbe held like Rabbi Yehuda as well, just like Rabbi Nachman said in the name of Rav, that during the fifth hour a Jew cannot eat it and a goy could eat it, and the Jew could have a nod during the fifth hour, but he can't eat it. My lav cannot lenachem k'Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yosef loy. Rabbi Yosef said no, Yisrael k'Rabbi Meir. He meant to say sell it to Jewish people during the fifth hour, like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir says that a Jew can eat it during the fifth hour. Amalei Abaye, Abaye questioned his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, Eli Yisrael, if you could already sell it to a Jew, Nishkala Nafshei. As we mentioned before, why can't the person take it for himself? Why bother to go out into the marketplace and sell it? If he's going to sell it to a Jew anyway, let him take it and let him feed it to himself and his family and pay the mafkid, he should pay him what the value of that was. The Gemara answers that he cannot sell it to himself, he can't buy mishum chashada, because of suspicion. People would suspect that he was somehow involved in this, he's going to have some gain from this, the son he we learned in a brisa. Gaboy tzedakah she'elam anim lechalik. What happens if the treasures of tzedakah do not have any anim? This is not, unfortunately, too prevalent. But there are no anim to give the tzedakah to lechalik. You have no one to give it, dispense it to. Port and lachem, they exchange it to others. And as Rashi explains, that in those days the coins would get moldy, they would not be of value after a period of time, and therefore you have to exchange them for good ones. So the din is portn lacherim, you exchange it with other people. Then portn latzman, you cannot exchange these coins for your own coins, because people will suspect that you are gaining something from this exchange. Gaboy tamchui, the people who are in charge, the treasurers of the platter, which was people used to donate to the platter, a daily collection of cooked food. She'ein lem anim lechalik. There are no anim to whom you can divide it to. Marchal lachem, you sell it to other people. They marchal atzma, but you cannot buy it yourself. Mishum shenemer ve'yisim nekim Hashem Yisrael. You have to be naki, you have to be clean, that no one, not Hashem, not other Jewish people, should suspect that you're doing anything wrong, that you have no personal gain out of this transaction. And therefore, really, the Shomer would have been able to buy it for himself and eat it himself during the fifth hour, because we passed like Rav Meir, and he didn't do it. Alts shad. Amalei Rav Adar Bar Masa Rav Yosef. Rav Adar Bar Masa said to Rav Yosef, Beferish Amratlon. You, Beferish, told us differently. As Rashi points out, the second last line, Rav Yosef Chola Vishach Talmudai Ulachuzman Kishraya Machlev Dvorav Hayamaskirin Osei Talmidav Kachli Maratona Birushain. As we had this many times in Shas, that Rav Yosef, when he got sick, he started forgetting his learning, and he used to say one thing, and his Talmidim would remind them that you yourself taught us differently concerning this Indian. And here was the the case also, usually in the Gemara, Abai is the one who reminds Rabbi Yosef his Rebbe. Here it was Rabbi Bar Masna who reminded Rabbi Yosef that you, Beferish, told us, say Umarchel Nachrim Kerab Yuda, that Rebbe told him, Beferish, go and sell it to a goy like Rabbi Yuda, because a Jew you can't sell it to anymore. You can only sell it to a goy. And this is what the Gemara says before, that Af Rebbe, according to the real way that Rabbi Yosef gave over the story, the way he was corrected by Rav Adar Bar Masna, that Rebbe held like Rabbi Yehuda that you cannot eat chametz during the fifth hour. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Keman Azal Hashmaitza, as Rashi explains, this halacha that Rebbe's teaching us, that Shehoira Limchor Pikadim Shavad, in other words, you're afraid somebody's going to get totally lost, and therefore the Shomer has an obligation to save the money of the one who gave him the article to watch, the Mafkid. So where do we learn such a halacha? Keman Azal Hashmaitza, the Rebbe, Kirab Shimon Gamlil, it's none. We learned in the Mishnah, Mafkid Peres Etzachaveirai, if a person gave pears to his friend, afilahin avudin, even if they are getting deteriorated, lo yigaben, you shouldn't touch them. Shimon Gamliel Omer, moichrom bebezdin, you do sell them in a bezdin. Mivnei hashavas aveda, because you're like returning an aveda, a lost article to the person who lost it. Your friend is going to lose his money because his fruit is getting rotten, it's deteriorating. Go sell them, at least get some money for him. Omer abaya. So in other words, the Gemara thought that Rebbe could only be going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. He could not be going like the Tanakhama. However, Abaya disagrees. Amrle Abaya, the Lav Itmar Allah, didn't we learn on this? Amr Rabbi Rabchana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Shana, when did the Tanakhama say his din? That Loi Gaben, that even if they're getting lost, you shouldn't touch them. That's only Allah Bechteches Roinan. And now we turn to the Yud Gimel Amid Beis. That's only when the normal amount of money that gets deteriorates is deteriorating. And the Gemara in Bav Metzia tells us how much each fruit or food deteriorates over time. So if it's the norm, don't touch it, according to the Tanakhama. But if this food you see is deteriorating more than normal, you do sell in the bezdin. And certainly over here, the Apsei Ligamri, here, if you wait till this month, or Isser, the sixth hour, the seventh hour becomes Asumit or Rabbanimit, Raisit, eat the Chametz is going to be worthless. You won't be able to have Anoah from it, you won't be able to eat it. So certainly here, the Tanakhama, if it goes more than its normal deterioration, the Tanakhama agrees to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Certainly over here by Chametz, where it's going to become Asur and worthless, certainly in this case, he would agree, and therefore you don't have to say that Rebbe holds Badaf like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rebbe, in this case by Chametz, could even hold like the Tanakhama, that the Shomer has to make sure to save some of the money of the Mafkid. Continues the Gemara to explain the Mishnah. Va'oid Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shtei Chalas. There were two Chalas in the Mikdash, which were Psulos, and these were the Lachmei Toda. And the Gemara told us that two of them were put by a Itztaba, which is a bench. And if both of them were there, it was still mutter to eat chametz. If one was taken away, it became usher to eat. It was mutter banah. And when both were taken away, then it became not only usher be'achil, it also became usher banah. Tani Tanakh Amed Rav Yehuda Algav Vaitstava, that it was put on the seat of the bench. Amr Lei, he responded to him. Rav Yehuda said to the Tana, V'chilat Sniyin Utsarach. What's the purpose of it? The purpose is that everybody should see, as Rashi explains, Divrei Maskil V'chilat Sniyim, V'aloi L'mara Ayin Heim Nisunim Sham. Why are they put there? They're being put there that everybody could see and know when they have to stop eating chametz and when they have to stop having hanah from chametz. So what am I putting it on the seat of the bench? Nobody's going to be able to see it. Are you trying to hide it? Tani al gago itstaba. Don't learn it on the seat of the bench, but rather learn it on the roof. As Rashi explains, these itstabas used to have roofs on them because of the rain. They would put it on top of the roof. Everybody would be able to see how many chalas were there, and they would act accordingly to the amount of chalas that they saw. Amar Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rechava said the name of Rav Yehuda. Har Habayis Stav Kafel Hoya. It was a double stav. A stav is one row of seats within another, and stav is similar to the Greek word stoa, which may be similar to the word stadium. In other words, it was built in the form of a stadium, that you had one ring of benches within another ring of benches, like similar to a stadium setup. Tanya Nami Hachi Har Habayis Stav Kafel Hoya. It was a stav kafel, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It's tavinis hoisin nekras. It wasn't, and it's stava, but it was called it's tavinis. It's tavinis are like the benches that are in front of stores where merchants peddle their wares. That's what it was called. And the same thing, stav lefnim stav. It was one row of benches within another row of benches, and they put the posel, chalas on the roof of the itstava or the roof of itstavinus. The Mishnah said they were pasul, amai psulis. Why were they bedafke pasul? Amar Rav Chanina, mitarshayim merubais, nifsalas belina. Because since during that time of the year, on Erev Pesach, they were many, because everybody brought their korban toida. And not everybody was able to eat the lachme toda, the 10 out of the 40 breads that come with a korban toda. There are 10 that are chametz, and everybody was coming to the base of Migdash to be oil regal at that time. So there was an abundance of lachme toda, which were chametz thick, and they weren't able to eat it up in time, and they became pasavolina. They're normally allowed to be eaten one day and a night, and here it was past the night, and they became pasal. The sanya aim of vin toda b'chagamatzes, and they you're not allowed to bring a korban toida during Pesach because of the 10 the 10 loaves that are chametz. Fragmar pshita, of course not. Here we're speaking about Erev Pesach, the 14th. And even there, you shouldn't bring a korban toida, because since you're not going to be able to eat the breads of the Toda a whole day and a night, but you're going to have to stop when the Zman Isser Chometz begins, so you are going to be causing that these Lachme Toda can become Pusel, so that's why you shouldn't bring a Korban Toda Erev Pesach, because they won't have enough time to eat it, and you're going to be causing it to go to the Beis HaPsul, and that you're not allowed to do. Vikuli Alma, so everybody, nobody brings it, of course, on Pesach. They don't bring it on the 14th either. When do they bring it? Everybody gets together and brings it. Bishloisha Asr Maisulahu. They bring it on the 13th. And since everybody's bringing on the 13th, they're, usually if a person has some lachmei toda left over, he can give it to a friend before it becomes nicer, before it becomes usher to eat. But here, where everybody's bringing it at the same time, there's such an abundance that they're not able to consume them all in time, and they become posel, and two of those breads are put on top of the itstavim. Because there's so many, nifsalas belina, become posel belina on the 13th of Nisan. Mishum Rabbi Yana Yamru, Rabbi Yana said no, that these breads were really ksheiros, saw you. They were kosher. So why does the Mishnah call them possible? Because the korban was not shechted. They were designated to be lachmei toda, but the korban was not shechted. And we just have to have a brief hakdama at this point to understand the three stages of a korban of lachmei toda. First, they are designated. Let's call it stage A, is when they're designated as lachmei toda, they have a kedushas damim. They don't have kedushas aguf. They have value, but they're not intrinsically kosher like a korban. They're not intrinsically hegdish like a carbon. And the halacha at that stage is that you can't eat them, because you can only eat them once the carbon was shechted and brought with all its halachas. So you can't eat the breads. They don't become possible lean at that time. And you could do pidgin, you could redeem them at that time. That's stage A. Stage B is after the shechita of the carbon, they receive a kedushas aguf. And they become intrinsically kosher, not just for the value, and then they become pasulina. If you didn't eat it in the designated time, they would become pasul. And the third stage is after we did zrikas adam, we spilt the blood on the mizbeach as far as the korban goes, then the chalos themselves become mutter bachila. So here we're speaking about the stage A, that they were designated, and there was no shechita made on the korban. So the Gemara says, we don't understand. Why is there a problem with these? V'nishchad, let's shech the korban, and then they'll become mutter, they'll be kosher. In what sense are they possible at all? Let's shech. The answer is, shavar ha-zevach. The zevach got lost. The Gemara asks, v'nesh zevach achar v'nishchad, let's take another zevach and shech it. The Gemara says we can't do that. Why? The Amar zu toida v'zu lachma. He designated this is the toda, this is the breads for the Torah, could a rabbi, as rabbi tells, the Omer rabbi, Ovid alecha, maybe lechem acher. If you have the Torah, the korban, the animal, and you lost the bread, you could bring other bread. But of the toida, but if you lost the animal, even if you have the bread, ain maybe toida ches, you cannot bring another animal as a korban toida for the, to be mat to the bread. My taima, lechem glal toida, vein toida glal lechem. Because bread is brought as a secondary to the main part, which is the korban toida, the animal, and you do not bring the animal to be a secondary to the lechem. So therefore, if lechem gets lost, you can replace it. If the toida gets lost, you cannot replace it. And now we're frozen. These have been designated as lachmi toida. The animal is lost. You can't bring another one. And therefore, in a sense, you're frozen. Furthermore, why are you frozen? V'nifrkinu v'nafkinu l'chulin. Let's be poda them, redeem them. Since at that, you're still in stage A. If you haven't shechted it, you're not yet in stage B. So at stage A, we learned that you pidgin as possible. So let's bring it out to chulin. And so again, why are they in any sense considered frozen or posel at that time? The zevach was shechted. We're already in stage B. And now we're about to go to stage C, which is to have the blood sprinkled on the mizbeach. The nishbach adam. And unfortunately, the blood that was in the cup got spilled on the ground. And now we're locked into place. Now we're frozen. Keman karebi, as Rebbe says, the Amar Rebbe, shnei dvar mamatira, and if you have two things that permit, you're using two permitters. Mal and Zebelezeh, they can raise up this item to have a Kedusha Saguf, one without the other. You don't have to wait for both. This is a machlokas, as we'll soon see, but Rebbe's opinion is that one can raise it to the highest level, even if you don't have the other thing that is matter, the sanya. We learned in the Braisa. Kifse Yatzeh, if you have the kvasim, the sheep that come by the korban that's brought on Shavuos, and so these animals that are brought as a korban on Shavuos, they're not mekadesh, the bread, the lachm, the shtei halechem, the two special breads that are brought with the kivsei atzeres, they do not become sanctified. Ela b'shchita, only if you first shechted the animals, ketzad, shechton lishmon, vizorgdom and lishmon, you have two things that cause the bread to become holy and to be able to be eaten. That's if the animal was shechted lishma for the right reason, l'shem a korban. V'zorg dam lishman. You also did the zrikas adam lishman for the correct reason. Everything was done correctly. Then kiddush alechem. Then the bread becomes holy, and you can go ahead with the process of eating the bread. But shachton shaloi lishman v'zorg dam shaloi lishman. What happens if you did neither of them lishman? You did neither of them for the right purpose. You didn't have in mind that you're doing it for l'shem the kivsei atzeres. Loi kiddush alechem. Then the bread does not become holy. It does not become sanctified, and you can't eat it. It does not have either of the two permitters, either of the two matirim. So then everybody agrees it's no good. If it has both, it's fine. If it has neither of them, of course, then you cannot eat this bread. Shachton lishmon v'zark dam shalishmon. But what happens if you did one correctly and one not correctly? You did the shchit lishma and the zrika of the dam. You did loy lishma. So Rebbe's opinion is lechem kaddish v'ena kaddish divi Rebbe. Rebbe says it's holy, as Rashi explains. It'll become possible, let's say, with yotzei if it goes out of the base of Migdash. And also become a Kedushas Aguf, that you can no longer, the difference between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim is, if its only value is money, you can be poted, you can redeem it. If it's a Kedushas Aguf, you cannot redeem it. So this bread is sanctified through the Shechita, which was done correctly, that you cannot redeem it. But Ve'enai Kadosh, it did not become holy in the sense that now it's mutter bachila, because it's missing the other mater. So one, it's in limbo. It's neither here nor there. It's kadosh that you can't be poted, but it's not kadosh that you can eat it. That's the words of Rebbe. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Oimer, he says, lo lemeina kadosh alechem ad sheyifcha yishchot lishman veyizrik damim lishman. No, he says either or. Either it remains a kedushas damim, which you can be poted, or it remains, receives a kedushas haguf, the bread, the shtei alechem, if there was a shechita done correctly, lishman. And then there's Rika done correctly, Shmon. Then it requires a Kedusha Guf, and at the same time, it becomes Mutter Bachila. But if you have one and not the other, you only have Shchita and not Zrika, or you only have Zrika and not Shchita, you're missing, one was done correctly, one was done incorrectly, then it doesn't move away from its Kedusha's Hadomim status. So the Gemara here is comparing by Lachme Toda, where the Korban was Shechted, but the blood was not sprinkled, it spilled out, you had one Mater, you didn't have the other Mater. So according to Rebbe, it would remain Kaddish Reina Kaddish. So that's the sense in which we said that these breads were Pasul, means that they had received the Kedusha Guf the way Rebbe Shita is, after the Shechita, there is a Kedusha Guf. You cannot be poder the lachmi Torah anymore. However, you will not be able to eat them because you're missing the second matter. So it's kaddish, reina kaddish. So l'chayra, that's what he is learning pshat in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, here I could tell you that even Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon would agree. I feel the time Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Hachel ma'eskin, going to skabel adam bekos v'nishbach. The blood was received in a kos, but it was spilled out. Koyin she eskabel adam bekos v'nishbach for Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon sfir lei kavua. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon holds like his father. In other words, it's not that the blood was spilled out straight from the animal, but it was received in a cup, and at that moment it could have been brought and sprinkled, and the Zrikas Adam could have been done properly. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon holds like his father. Da'amar, Rabbi Shimon says that Koloi Medlizrek is Arkdami, that anything that's about to be sprinkled has a halach as if it was already sprinkled. So therefore, but in fact it wasn't Lemaisa sprinkled, in actuality it wasn't sprinkled. So here again I could have a limbo. We thought the limbo status is only according to Rebbe. You could be in limbo even according to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, because even though Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon says you need two matirim to make it Kedusha Zaguf and then become Mutter Lachila, here I can have, in a sense, I have two matirim because I have the Shkita in actuality, and I have the Zrika because of the Halacha, that whatever is almost, whatever is ready to be sprinkled, it's as if it was sprinkled. So as far as the halacha of getting Kedusha Zaguf and getting Kedusha Zaguf, you'll have the Kedusha Zaguf because it's as if the Shechita and the Zrika were done. But in actuality, in order to enable you to eat it, you will not be able to eat it according to this Pshat and Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, because in actuality you're missing the Zrika. It's only Oymed Lizrak. But the actual Zrika was not done, and therefore you will not be able to eat it. So we don't have to just say it's going like a Rebbe. It could even be going, according to this interpretation of Kol Oymed Lizrak, it's going like Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon as well. Tana Mishum Rabbi Lazar Amru, the first pshat in our Gemara said that these lachmei Torah were pasul. The second pshat said they were in limbo. The third pshat of Rabbi Lazar, which will be not like our Mishnah, says they were actually kosher. It's called manchmenachas. As long as both were standing there on top of the roof of the tztaba, then kolom eichlin, they used to eat it. They knew that there's still a lot to eat it. Nitlach, as if one of them was taken toilin, then it's in limbo. You don't eat it, but you don't burn it yet. Loy eichlin, loy sarfin. And if both of them were taken, this chilu kulan sarf, and then everybody started to burn the chametz, because now the time of iser has begun. And as Mefarshim explained, because he holds like Rabbi Gamliel of our Mishnah that truma can still be eaten during the fifth hour. It's only aser in the sixth hour, so they would leave. These were lachmei Torah, so they had a halacha like truma, so they could still be eaten during the fifth hour, and therefore they were burnt at the beginning of the sixth hour, according to Rabbi Gamliel, and right before the sixth hour they were taken away, and they were eaten quickly to eat it up before the zman, and not to make it puzzle, so they were eaten up right before this man. And as long as two were up there, the people ate chametz. When one was only up there, they stopped eating chametz, but they didn't yet burn it. And as soon as they saw at the end of the fifth hour that they were taken away, and at that time they were eaten, so they shouldn't become puzzle, that's when everybody started to burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. Tanya b'shol oimer, shnei, and now we turn to Daf Yud Dalet Amid Aleph, shtei poros hayu charshus b'har mishcha. There were two cows that were you're plowing in the Har HaMishcha, calls man shishtein chosh, as long as that day, as Rashi says, there was a simon that as long as those cows were plowing kolam oichlin, everybody could eat chametz. And they tell us achsman, if one of them was taken away, toilav loy oichloy sarfim, then it's hanging, which means you don't eat chametz, but you don't burn it either. You can have a gnaw from it during that fifth hour. Nitlushtem, if both were taken, which was at the end of the fifth hour, at the beginning of the sixth hour, hischilu kolam sarfim, then all the people began to burn their chametz. And this brings us to the next famous sugya of Rav Chanina, Skana Kohanim, which will be a long sugya, which will go, a sugya of Tumah v'Tahara, which will go until the end of this perek, until Daf Chaf Aleph. I just would like to be Messiah with a word of Haggadah, and that is on something, a question that my colleague Rabbi Elephant dealt with on Daf Ches Amid Aleph at the bottom and Ches Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that if someone gives staka, ha oimer selazul staka bishul sheyichya bni or sheaya ben oilam haba harezet sadik gomer, and Tosus asked the question from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos where we are told al tiu kavodam amisham shem sarav amenas lekabel pras, you shouldn't do things for reward, and here it seems for reward you could still be a tzadik gomer, and he, Rabbi Elephant offered several very beautiful answers. I would like to offer one that I beautiful teretz that I heard from my Rebbe Rav David Kronglass itzal, the Mashgiach of Yeshivas Ne'er Yisrael, who said in the name of the Tzois HaChoshen in his Sefer Avnei Meluim in the Hagdama, and it's also found in the Ruach Chaim by the Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And they explain it as follows, that there is no contradiction between the Gemara in Pesachim and the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And this is based on something that we find in Pirkei Avos, that Ben Azai says in Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis, Havirotz l'mitzvah kalo berech min avera. You should run to an easy mitzvah and run away from avera. Why? She mitzvah gereris mitzvah, v'avera gereris avera. She schar mitzvah mitzvah, uschar avera avera. The simple pshat is that Hashem allows a person who's running after mitzvahs to do another mitzvah. If you're running after averas, you'll do another avera. Because the reward of one mitzvah is the ability to do another mitzvah. The reward of an avera, Hashem gives you the ability to do another avera. However, these Mefarshim learned the Pshat in the Mishnah differently. That because, and they say this has to do with what is the purpose that Hashem created the world? What did He need the world for? The answer is Hashem is a Tov and a Meitiv. So He created the world in order to be Meitiv to us. Really, Hashem could have given us the greatest reward possible, which is Olam Haba for free, gratis, but that would be Nahama de Kisufa, bread of shame. Hashem wanted us to earn our reward in the world to come. As the Rambam tells us, the biggest stalker that you can do to a person is to have him, to set him up in a job where he can earn and he shouldn't feel ashamed of getting a handout. So Hashem gave us Torah and mitzvahs, and we have Bechira, we have a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Ra, and if we choose correctly to do the mitzvahs and learn Torah, then we will get this tremendous reward in Olam Haba, and Hashem will be fulfilling the purpose that He created the world. So every time that I do a mitzvah, I'm really doing two mitzvahs. If a person puts on tefillin, so he's mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin, and he also is mekayim another mitzvah, and that is the whole purpose of the world. The purpose is that I can do mitzvahs to enable Hashem to give me schar. That's why Hashem created the world. So that's the pshat in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Shem mitzvah gereris mitzvah. Every time you do one mitzvah, automatically you're doing a second mitzvah. Vaveira. And when you do an avera, then automatically you're doing a second avera. Why? Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah, not like we learned before, the simple pshat, is the ability to do another mitzvah. But rather, sheschar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah, in itself is a mitzvah. So automatically, if I put on tefillin, then I've done tefillin, automatically I've done two mitzvahs in one time, because now I enable Hashem to give me schar. I've done a second mitzvah. Schar avera. If I do an avera, so what happens? Chas v'shalom, the person gets an onesh. An onesh to punish someone, that's not why Hashem created the world. So by causing Hashem to give me an onesh, that's really going against Hashem's purpose of creating the world. Hashem has to do it because of schar v'onesh and yetzer tov and yetzer ra and bechira. So He has to make it that there is a balance between good and evil. He has to make reward on one hand and punishment on the other. But punishment is not the purpose why Hashem created the world. So schar avera Aveira? Do you know what you're causing when you do an Aveira? Not only are you doing the Aveira, but you're doing two Aveiras, because the Aveira causes Hashem to punish you, which is itself against the will of Hashem. A mitzvah is Hashem's will, and an Aveira is going contrary to Hashem's will. So when you do a mitzvah, you do two mitzvahs. The schar mitzvah is itself a mitzvah. When you do an Aveira, the schar of an Aveira is itself an Aveira. And if so, there is no contradiction between the Gemara and Pesachim and the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. If a person says that I am giving this money to tzedakah b'shvil sheyichya b'ni, so I'm doing it not, I could do it for two reasons. I could do it because I want my son to live, or I'm doing it because I know Hashem, even a Rosh Hashem doesn't want to die. Hashem wants people to live. So if I am praying and doing mitzvah so that my son should live, that is the Ratzon of Hashem. Or I want to get Olam Haba, that itself is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then I raise a Tzadik Gomer. You're a tzaddik gomer because that's exactly what Hashem wants. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is speaking where I want my son to live because I want my son to live. I'm selfish about it. I want my son to live, but not because that's Hashem's ratzon. Or I want Olam Haba because I want to get Olam Haba. Then I'm not a tzaddik gomer. But here we're speaking about where I'm doing this mitzvah, I'm giving tzedakah in order to enable Hashem to give me Olam Haba. That's the whole purpose that Hashem created the world. And that's is the pshat by Moshe and the Gemara and Saita, Daf Yedalad. Why did Moshe have such a desire to go into Eretz Yisrael? Was it Lechem Imperial Utsarech? Did he have to eat the luscious fruit of Eretz Yisrael? The answer is no, says the Gemara. He wanted to do the mitzvahs, Hatluyus Boaretz, that were dependent that you can only do in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to do them to get Schar, the Gemara says. So how the obvious question, how could Moshe want to get Schar? It's Loy Lishma, and we're taught in Pirkei Avos not to serve Hashem for the wrong reasons. The answer is, he's telling Hashem, I want to do the mitzvah in order to enable you, Hashem, to give me schar for those mitzvahs, because I know that that's the whole reason you created the world, in order to give schar for mitzvahs. Hashem said, since I'm not letting you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're an ones, it's considered as if you went into Eretz Yisrael, and I will be able to give you the schar for those mitzvahs.